This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. It's Thursday, and that means Lawn and Garden Day. Every Thursday, we talk lawns and gardens. Anthony Tuggle is with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. He has his computer in hand, and that means he can answer any question that you have, no matter how difficult it might be. Anthony has his computer in hand. Used to be in the old days, Dwayne would show up with armloads of books. Now you have more books than he does, but they're all right there in one little thing that probably doesn't weigh but a couple of pounds. How are you, Anthony?
I'm good, boy. Yeah.
Speaking of Dwayne, he's going to be with us next week, I understand.
That's right. Going to do his winter forecast.
He has been doing that for, boy, I guess close to 30 years now. Long time, anyway. What's scary, we've been here with him for the last years. Well, so Dwayne is going to have the folklore winter forecast next week at this time, which means the studio will be crawling with
woolly worms
and spiders and just all sorts of creepy crawlers.
Just in time for Halloween as well.
That's right. I hadn't even thought about that.
So perfect
time. I hope he takes them back with him, though.
You don't want to keep them.
No, that's okay. Well, tell us, over the past week, here we are in the thick of fall, and we're about this. I think tonight is the first night that we've had a freeze warning out, and so here we are on the footsteps of our first freeze. Is this about the right time? You know, everybody, you always give us forecast of the first freeze is going to be approximately such and such. And the end of the freeze is going to be somewhere in April. Are we at the right time for the first freeze?
We're actually, I think our first killing frost date is like October 23rd. So we're right on, pretty much on
boy,
point.
You couldn't get any closer.
No, just wait a few more days. It was right on schedule.
So it's a science then.
It's a science.
Well, over the past week, what kind of questions have been coming into the Ag Center?
Boy, lately, since the weather have started to change. People are start seeing insects, particular spiders, as we mentioned, and Asian ladybugs, trying to find refuge in homes and things like that. So really, that's been quite a lot of questions we've been dealing with, talking about kind of winterizing your home to keep those pests out. So you can actually go, good thing to do, especially for some of those insects that actually congregate outside your house, like some of those ladybugs would do. If it's a good sunny day, you can go out and use an insecticide to basically spray and control those. I know ladybugs are a beneficial insect, and they do a lot of good, but one thing you want to think about, when they congregating outside your house and coming in, then they can be a nuisance pest, so we recommend go ahead and spray those with an insecticide. But the ones that are in your house, they will have a tendency, if you kind of kill them and mash them, they will stay.
Kill them and mash them?
Yeah, some people just mash them and try to.
This is a cruel show.
But when you do that, it also stains your walls. So we really want to kind of avoid staining your walls and window sills by doing that, and just kind of use a shop vac or some vacuum cleaner and dispose of them that way once they're inside. Also, if you do use a shop vac or vacuum cleaner, you really want to kind of dispose of those pretty regularly because they will kind of get off an odor if they stay in there too long. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you clean those things out.
All righty. We have a phone call, so let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Dwayne Trail. How are you today?
I'm good.
Good.
What kind of insect were y'all talking about? I jumped in on, I guess, late. I don't know what y'all were just talking about.
We talked to see different ladybugs actually move into your home during this time of year. You usually see them pretty much twice a year, in the fall of the year and also in the spring of the year when the weather starts to change a little bit.
So insects, you can't kill those. It's bad luck to kill a ladybug.
You should have known that, Anthony.
I guess I should have.
But Bart, I have a weather question. Is that all right?
Sure.
Do y'all remember having hail in October other than the other day? I'm 43, and I have never remember hail in October in Tennessee.
You know, I don't either. And boy, that was a hailstorm.
It was coming down. My little boy got knocked in the head, and it scared him.
I felt like I was going to get knocked in the head. I was in my car and up on the square trying to get to Big B Cleaners. I had planned on going to Big B anyway, but as the storm came, I thought, hey, that's under roof,
perfect
too.
Drive-through, yeah.
But by the time I pulled in, the hailstorm stopped.
Okay, well, that was just a question. And if anybody out there remembers, and let me know, because that's just something I've just been wondering about.
Keep listening, and I'm sure that we'll have some comments on that. Does anyone remember other hailstorms in October?
And that was Tennessee.
In Tennessee, right. We don't care about other places.
That's right. Tennessee's all that matters.
That's right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, she's right. And I tell you, what hit me when that storm hit, that hailstorm, don't they usually sometimes follow tornadoes?
No.
I thought, ooh, boy. That is a little bit scary.
I think it may have been a tornado warning somewhere in the area, McMinnville and Ariel, coming through at the same time. I'm not sure if it's touched down or not.
Let's try the phones again. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Yes, sir. My question is, a few weeks ago, I aerated my yard and put down like triple 13 fertilizer and then reseeded. I'm just wondering if you all have any more suggestions or anything that I could do to my yard. So, you know, in springtime, it's going to be really green and really full. I mean, I have an established yard. I mean, it's about 10 or 12 years old. So, I mean, I have an established yard. I'm just kind of done what everybody said I needed to do, and I just didn't know if you had any more suggestions, you know, in the springtime that have a real green, thick, full yard. And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thank you for calling. What about that?
Well, sounds like he's on track.
It does. Sounds like he's done it right.
And he did get some good fertilizer down, complete fertilizer that has all our three major nutrients in this time of year. Probably the only thing I would do is, it sounds like he has a good stand of grass and he wants to continue to grow. It was, I'll probably early, mid-February, late February, come back in with another application of triple 13 would be fine in lieu of a soil test. But sounds like he's right on track. And usually for a high maintenance lawn, we kind of recommend folks actually fertilize probably about five times a year.
Five times a year.
Yeah, that's for real high maintenance. But usually the good thing about it, most people have a tendency to go in and put down fertilizer in the spring only. But, yeah, it's great that he put it out this time of year. He probably can come back in again with another application probably next month with really help boost it on to be winterized and move forward for the spring.
Now, I'm probably the only one who has not done this, but I have not been doing that five times a year.
Most people don't.
In fact, it may have been 20 or 30 years since I've done that. What should I do? Should I put an application of fertilizer down, or should I put a whole lot of it down, or what? Now, you can't make up for lost time.
No, you can't. What we recommend is basically 1 pound of actual nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. And usually those five times for a real high maintenance yard would be October 15th, November 15th, then come back in March and April 15th. So for cool season grasses, mm-hmm. The time we really want to do that. And after April 15th, we really want to add an additional fertilizer to our tall fescue. What happens during that time, the weather is changing, humidity is going up, and that extra nitrogen actually causes a brown patch disease. And we see people with that brown patch disease throughout the summer months, and they'll put additional fertilizer when they're actually promoting that disease to continue and progress in their yard. So pretty much application again in October and March and April are the five recommended times for high maintenance level yards. For the ones who are not going to do five times, kind of like you were describing, Bar, October and November will be the optimal time to do it versus the spring, or either you can split those applications up and do late November and early springtime. We really want to fertilize those grass while they're at their peak growing season. And since they are cool season grass, that's when they'll be at maximum growth.
Now, what about putting in bushes and trees and, you know, landscaping and things like that right now? Here we're, you know, supposed to frost tonight. Does that mess us up, or are we still at the beginning part of the season to do that?
It was still at the beginning part. Usually we want to put those shrubs and plants in when they are dormant anyway. So probably we're in a great time, especially the weather changing, cooling off. A lot of those plants are going dormant. So, yeah, I wouldn't even be afraid to go ahead and put them in next week, and especially next month. As long as the ground is not frozen, they should be fine. Since we are expecting a heavy frost tonight, we probably mm-hmm. do want to cover those plants and make sure wherever you cover them with some sheets or some tobacco cloth or something like that, remove it in the morning, because that can cause some adverse problem to the plants as well. So you want to make sure you get that cover off as soon as you can. You're really just protecting that foliage on those plants.
So if you are going to do this, you really might be better off to wait until this weekend.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to put them out and then cover them.
Based on the frost report, yeah.
I hate to say this, but now, I'm not the one who loves the yard work the most. And my efforts of putting down trees and shrubs sometimes have worked and sometimes they don't work. Now, most of the times they don't work. They die. But I was on the way in this morning, and I heard a message on the radio about the folks over at Martin's Home and Garden, and they said something about if you buy, I think it was two or three trees and shrubs or whatever, and it's more than $100, which is not hard to accomplish.
Pin on the side, me one plant.
They'll bring it out and plant it for you for free.
Wow.
That is my kind of, because they know what they're doing.
They do. That's a good deal.
I'm going to have to go check that out. But I was trying to figure out, do I want to check it out today or do I want to wait till after the frost? I'll just go check it out and pick it out and ask them to come by after the frost.
Come by later, right?
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Fine.
Good.
I was just wondering if I'd missed the woolly worm.
No, that's coming up next Thursday. Dwayne Trail will be here next Thursday bringing a whole cache of woolly worms and who knows what else.
Okay, thank you.
All righty, bye-bye. The Woolly Worm Winter Forecast, 30th annual or something.
I guess we need to ask him, did he make the Woolly Worm Festival in Kentucky this year? I know he went to a Woolly Worm Festival last year, I believe.
He did, I remember that. So he came back with all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
He was wearing a hat and
T-shirt.
Shirt and the whole bit. You know, we ought to have a Dwayne Trail Woolly Worm Festival here in Murfreesboro. I think that'd go over big. Everybody, we could have woolly worms doing cakewalks, or instead of cakes, we could walk on a circle around a woolly worm, and you whoever wasn't standing on a woolly worm when it ended, you're out. Well, that'd be rough on woolly worms, though, wouldn't it?
They wouldn't like it.
No, they wouldn't. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Just fine. Listen, I was calling to say, can you recommend some good fertilizer to put around flowers and roses and things this time of year? Because I want to get something, you know, to make them grow and do good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could wait a few minutes before you give your answer, I got to go to another room.
Okay.
I appreciate you giving me some information on that.
We'll be happy to do that.
Thank you, Bart.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye. We'll wait just a few minutes before we answer that so she can go to the other room and give her a chance to get a pencil, too. So while we're giving her a chance to do that, let's take another call. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today? Hello? Did you have a question or comment? That was a woolly worm. I have a feeling they're coming up against us. We'll be having a crowd of woolly worms outside. Now, she was looking for some kind of fertilizer to put around her flowers, was it?
She mentioned flowers and some of the other plants like that. The roses, one she mentioned. Since a lot of our summer flowering plants, like roses and some of the other plants, for fertilizing them at this time of year, when they are semi-dormant or going into a dormant state. I know we see some knockout roses still have some beautiful blooms on them. But I probably will wait to fertilize a lot of those plants until the spring. They won't get an opportunity to maximize those nutrients this time of year since they are about to go into a dormant season. So I will actually wait on the roses and some of those plants to put that fertilizer down in actually the spring of the year, right before they come out.
Let me ask you, and that was like a commercial fertilizer you'd go somewhere and buy. Just in case she was asking about something more natural, if you're putting out fertilizer on flowers, roses, what have you, I know a lot of people call in with certain questions. Should I put pig manure, horse manure, cow manure, goat, chicken, whatever? Is there one kind of natural manure that seems to do better on flowers and roses and things like that?
But once, if you put any of those materials down, if it's well decayed and well rotted, composted type material, mm-hmm. all those would have a great benefit to those plants. And if you do, the problem with a lot of them is, well, if you don't put it down, if you haven't got a chance to go through the decomposition process, then it will have a lot of weed seeds in it. From the animal, they actually feed on the plants that have seeds. And you have some weeds to grow up. So really you want to wait till it decomposed and then put that compost type material.
How long is that?
Plant.
I mean, how long should you wait for it to naturally decompose?
That's a hard one. It depends on, because we have a lot of people actually use those tumblers now, and they can process it in maybe a month time frame. We have people that are doing composting different things outside, depending how much they put in and how long they rotate it. Mm-hmm. Also depending on the weather time frame. Like this time of year, we get into a season where it's going to take a lot longer time for those composts being actually heat up, where that material can actually decompose. In the summertime, it's a little bit faster.
But now, I'm glad you mentioned the compost, because we're at a time of the year where suddenly people are going to have a lot of things to compost. And those lot of things are called leaves. We are well blessed with leaves, especially in the fall, and they're beautiful. But if you leave them on your ground, it will kill your grass. Believe me, I've been there.
Yeah,
it will kill your grass. And leaves are a good thing to compost. If you compost them and want to use them in your garden this coming spring, are you better using the old-fashioned compost, sort of like the wired cage or something, or are you better getting one of those fancy tumbler types? Which does the best if you're wanting to use them, say, in the garden this spring?
Well, but that's a long time, so either one of them would be sufficient. The tumblers do have a tendency to work a little faster, mm-hmm. you know, there. But if you're going to use it in just a regular vegetable garden, I probably will opt for just go ahead and chop those up and turn them in my garden.
Just physically put them in there and
put them in just
right now?
Just turn it up and let it decompose in the garden, so that would eliminate one of the steps in that process.
Don't even have to do a compost. Just stick them right there.
Well, for flower beds or something, I would put them in one of the bins you described,
yeah.
or the cages or a tumbler, one of those options. But a vegetable garden, I'll just turn them under.
Till them right in there. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Anthony Tuggle. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you.
I have a couple of things to ask about. First of all, with the light frost we may have tonight, do I need to worry about my chrysanthemums? Do I need to cover them, or will they be okay? And mm-hmm. then the second question is about fire ants. How to take care of fire ants around a pond where you don't want any chemicals to get in the pond.
That's a good one. Let's start with the chrysanthemum. Don't hang up, because he
okay.
may have a question. What about the chrysanthemums? Is that something to cover up for tonight?
It's depending on how bad a freeze we're having or the frost we're talking about having. But I'll probably just go ahead and put a light cover on most of all of my flowering plants, so they actually will keep that beautiful color to them. You may not see an instant, if it's just one night or something, it's not too, if it's real bad, you may not see an instant change in that plant color, but it will kind of burn them a little bit. So I would go ahead and cover them with a sheet or some tobacco covering,
mm-hmm.
so they can actually go ahead and give them extra protection. But again, you want to take that off in the morning as soon as the frost and freeze a little bit have warmed up. As far as the other question was about fire ants.
Mm-hmm. Around the lake or pond, so she didn't get any chemicals into the water.
Well, I would probably use a bait. But right now, cooler it is now, though.
Use what?
Some kind of ant bait. There are some different ant baits on the market, but the only problem right now is that those ants, with the weather changing like it is, they are probably not out foraging. And to pick that bait up to take back to their queen so they can actually weaken that hive.
They have queens in hives? The ants do? I didn't know that.
Yeah, some of the fire ants we have here, especially the import a fire ant to the brown and black, red and black. Mm-hmm. They may have even two queens. That's why one reason they're so aggressive, and they can withstand our cold temperature a little bit better. But I'll probably depend how close that, since and with knowing that those fire ants probably are not out foraging at this time, depending how close it is to the pond that you have, I may just mix up like a gallon of insecticide, malathion, or any other one, and just basically pour right on that mound versus trying to spray a big area.
How close are they to the water?
They're pretty much around the edge. They like the water.
Just like a foot or two?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're real close. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'd be really leery of any kind of chemical or insecticide.
Yeah, I don't blame you on that. But they are very uncomfortable when you step on them, and they get you.
They are very.
So are they more dormant in this cold weather?
They're not out as foraging much, and what we normally tell folks to do is basically you kind of put out a potato chip or something, and you within the next hour or day, particularly a day or two, if that potato chip have dissipated, or either have started a new mound around it, or you see it, or ants are actually on it, then those ants are out foraging, and you can use a bait, and they'll basically take that bait and take it back to their queen, and the rest of the ants, and their ants are kind of weakened at hive and come back to drench those mounds at that time. So we're kind of a two-step method.
How about if you put a potato chip about 3 feet from the water and then drench, before she put the chip out, drench the ground with that killer?
Well, she's only going to kill those ones that are foraging.
Oh, they're not going to bring it back okay.
Yeah, this is mostly insecticides are going to be a contact insecticide with the exception of the bait. That's the one that really they take back.
So what if you went into a store and said, what do you ask for?
They have a lot of different fire ant baits on the market. I don't even know what to start naming them.
So if you just said, I need some fire ant bait, okay.
They can actually look it up. And we do have some great information on our publication on our website that deals with fire ants. We actually have a fire ant website.
We must have a lot of them for them to have their own website.
We do have a website. They do, and they can cause a lot of damage.
Let us know if that works for you.
All righty. And what was that fire ant website?
Where do you find that?
Let me look it up. I don't know. It's so long. I'm going to look it up and give it back. I know you can find it from the utextension.tennessee.edu website.
You know, what you might do is just go to Google and put in fire ant bait.
Yeah, it's a long.
And I bet you it will give you a direction from there. Just Google it.
All right. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. 893-1450 is our phone number, 893-1450. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back in just a moment. And in addition to the ladybugs, I haven't had ladybugs visiting our house this year. We have another critter that is trying to stay warm, I guess. We never had this problem before. We're probably the only one with it. And I'm going to come back and ask you, how do you get rid of mice? I have two cats, and that's not working. What do I do? Help!
My huckleberry friend,
you thought you knew how to stretch a buck, you got to hear this guy, Clark Howard.
Join me Monday through Saturday, middays on WGNS, Rutherford County's place to talk.
Was your car damaged by the recent hailstorm we had in Rutherford County? Windows busted out, dents all over your car? Ford of Murfreesboro can properly repair your car to make it look like new again. Ford of Murfreesboro works with your insurance company so you don't have that hassle. Simply drop off your car, get it repaired, and then pick it up. It's that easy at Ford of Murfreesboro. Ford of Murfreesboro, at the intersection of Broad and Northfield. Hail damage repairs being done now at Ford of Murfreesboro.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Family Staffing Solutions.
Family Staffing has been a fantastic experience for me. I don't know what I would have done without them.
Stay independent, at home, in charge.
They have given me hope when I didn't think there was any hope.
It's just the most involved kind of relationship, and when it works, it is so beautiful.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best. Call 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Quality automotive repair service and repair at honest, fair prices. Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Call 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
Happy to report, guys, no accidents out there along your interstates or along your secondaries. However, if you are driving along 840 eastbound, as soon as you get on to 840 all the way over to Sulphur Springs Road, things are moving very slow in that area. Now, once you get past that, you shouldn't have any problems all the way over to Wilson County. Now, at 8 o'clock, you can expect lane closures along Old Fort Parkway between Kaysen Lane and Northwest Broad Street, as crews will be paving and stripping Old Fort Parkway between Kaysen Lane and Northwest Broad Street. If you need a personal injury attorney, call the Law Office of Henry S. Queener, located at 1230 17th Avenue in Nashville. Give them a call. 327-9999. With the WGNS traffic, I'm John Boyce.
Thank you, John. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Across the forecast area, we have a freeze warning going into effect during the overnight hours. A chance for showers and then drizzle later today. Mostly cloudy skies and a high of 54. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 45.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We still offer checking that comes with a free check card. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Talk with the police chief, mayor, and other local leaders about issues that concern you. Weekday mornings at 10 after 8 on the Action Line.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
He's trying. Us apart. Fare well. I know you're leaving.
I'm just sort of in a Jerry Butler mood today. I love that song. Everything he does, I'm a fan of those. And for those of you who are too young to remember the Iceman, you missed something. Anthony's over here thinking, who is he talking about? You ever heard of Jerry Butler?
I have not.
That is a generation difference there. Fantastic singer.
Don't love you like I love you. If he did it, he wouldn't.
Well, let's go back to the phones and stop singing and have some fun here. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Anthony Tuggle. How are you today? Hello there. Hello. Must be another fire ant. We're getting a lot of these fire ants this morning.
I guess so. And I did find that website for that young lady who called about the fire ant website. Mm-hmm. And it's actually fireants.utk.edu.
Fireants.utk.edu. The UTK is UT Knoxville.edu is the education
part. Yes.
fireants.utk.edu. Their own personal website. Fame. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful, Bart. How are y'all this morning?
Doing great. Thank you.
Good. I keep hearing about this tobacco cloth. Where do you get it?
I don't know. What is tobacco cloth? Anyway, this is what we're talking about, putting over the plants for a frost like tonight. You just go into
a cloth. You're going to go to a farm supply store, like the co-op will have that somewhere. Like, I would doubt those box stores will have any type of tobacco cloth. So you probably go into a farm supply store to actually.
What's the difference in tobacco cloth and?
There's really not a big difference. It's a light covering cloth that it's a white and you use it to protect. It's real good for protecting plant. We actually have used it a lot instead of putting straw over some of the turf grass we put out.
Mm-hmm.
We've actually covered them with
to
hold keep
I've
their moss and different things
it.
Like that. Mm-hmm. So it actually instead of using a sheet or something like that, you can actually go purchase it by the feet.
A sheet will do just as well, though. Right?
It would, okay. But again, whichever one of these products you actually use to cover your plants, you really want to go in and remove it that next morning.
Okay, All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. And I can see, too, how that would be more beneficial, say, than straw, and probably look better, work better. If you're putting out seed and don't want it to wash away or something.
Or birds come eat it.
Or birds, yeah, even more so, birds coming and eat it. 893-1450 is our number, 893-1450. We were talking about the ladybugs coming in to stay warm. I have had an invasion of mice this year. We had not ever had mice before. And we've put out the little traps. We've put out the sticky things, and we've hidden all the food, put it in plastic containers, and we still have them. I still see evidence of it. There must be some food source we still haven't gotten rid of. But and like I said, I have two cats too, and that's not doing a thing. I'm not even sure they're aware of them. If they are, they just watch them.
Entertain them, right?
It's our entertainment for you.
But sound like you're doing all the things we would recommend to control them.
They're smart little critters, then.
You may want to move your glue boards to an area where you have seen the evidence of them.
But they're not. These things must
be smart, huh?
Yeah, they are. I don't know. Maybe just time. We've had this now for about a week and still seeing evidence of them. Good morning. You're on WGNS. Hello there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That cloth you put over a plant bed is called canvas.
Canvas.
You get it at the co-op.
Ah, okay. Does it work pretty good for you?
Yes, it always did.
Okay. And how high up above the plant, or does it matter?
Oh, about 6 inches, something like that.
Oh, okay. All righty, well, we'll give it a whirl then.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. You have a great one. Bye-bye. And good morning. You're on WGNS with Anthony Tuggle. How are you today?
Good morning, Bart.
Good morning.
How you and Mr. Tuggle doing this morning?
We're having fun up here.
All right. I'm listening to you.
Good. Thank you.
I have a question. You may have said it, but I need to know. I got some fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like something eating on them pretty good, and it's kind of got some little white spots all over them. What could I get to spray those?
Where are the white spots at? On the foliage or on the wood? Or where?
On the wood.
The white spots are on the wood.
Yes.
I'm not sure what the white spots are on those. But we are getting a time where you can actually treat our fruit tree with a dormant oil. I would probably just go ahead and spray the base of that tree with some dormant oil. Are we talking mostly peach trees?
Yes, a peach tree and apples and plums.
Are the peach trees the one that have the little white stuff on them?
Yes,
It may be borers that are heavily bored into the tree and cause a problem. They have a real bad problem with borers. And they are pretty bad infected. Even treating it now may not save them.
It may not save them?
Yeah, they may last for a few more years, but they will start to decline quite rapidly, depending on how bad the tree is infected. But I would use a pyrethroid insecticide, like permethrin, to just spray the spray the base part of the tree only with that.
Well, I have a problem with what it's had done. I kept watering them, and the new growth coming back on it, but it's the old part that's kind of bugging me with the little white spots. But there's new growth coming back below.
Up from the roots?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not uncommon that the roots may be still alive and part of the other tree is starting to really decline quite a bit where it's regenerating a new plant.
Yes.
But he should put this on the base. And when you say the base, right down on the trunk?
Yes, all from the foliage, from the leaf level, the
grass
around to the...
To the first stems or
first
limbs.
Brand, yeah.
Whatever those things are that stick out.
But, all right. Depending how bad it's infected, it may be... If that's only have one major infected, if I'm thinking correctly, that we're talking about boars. If it's infected really bad and the other one's not infected, you may want to treat the other ones and actually have this one removed and put another one out.
Right. Well, I appreciate you. Have a good day.
You too. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
Bart, on your sticky mouse traps, put just a little bit of peanut butter right smack in the middle of it, and then put them out. They can't resist the peanut butter.
I will try that when I get home. Peanut butter in the middle of the sticky, just a little bit.
Yes, sir. We had three of them little beggars that showed up at our house. First time in several years that we've had any show up. And all three of them have gone to mousy heaven now.
Now it may just be one or two of them, and they're moving around pretty good.
But they get around.
I will try that peanut butter then.
It will work, Bart, guaranteed.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
You have a good one. He has just made my wife very happy. A little bit of peanut butter, just a little bit, on the sticky trap. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Anthony, I would like to ask you a question, and I don't know if you're a bird watcher or what, but I'm watching my yard, and I've noticed that for the first time in many, many years, crows have invaded my property for some reason, and I wonder if there's something in the ground that attracts the crows, and as they say, as the crow flies, I can see one from a half a mile away, and he'll end up in my yard. Is there something that I can deter the crows, or should I be glad the crows are around? I will answer. I will hang up and listen for your response. Thank you.
What about that? Is there something in the ground that attracts the crows?
Well, not that I'm aware of. Once they find a good roosting spot, they will continue to kind of come back and nest in those areas. And basically, depending where noise makers will have a tendency to work, but depending where you are, I'm not sure how that works against crows or in the subdivision. It sounds like he may have a wooded area behind him with some big trees or something. Mm-hmm. But some type just keep irritating them and noise, keep them from coming. But once they get started, they will continue to come back to the same location. But I'm not sure besides that.
While he was saying that, I guess it's because of the time of the year. I was trying to think, is there a difference between a crow and a raven? You know, you think about that poem about the raven. And I Googled it while we were talking just to check, and it says there is a definite difference between crows and ravens. So there is a difference there. I'm not sure what, but there is a difference. They both look similar. Crows caw, and the ravens sort of rock when they craw. But you have to be watching them. I'm looking at a video of them right now. And it shows that the crows are just sort of, when they caw, their body sort of rocks up and down, and the ravens don't. So there's bound to be much more than that, but there is a difference. Just thought I would, for curious minds there.
Yeah, he did try to deter them somehow to keep them from roosting there.
They bring disease, I would imagine, too. They have mites and what have you.
They do have. They can carry different little type of mites and insects on them and some other issues. But besides trying to distract them and keep them from getting started the first time or first place, and just kind of use some type of noise mechanism to get rid of them would be your option. And if you have a real big bad, I'm not sure what you call it, a problem. I don't know if you got 4 or 5 or 20, 30, or 40 of them, you may want to call it Tennessee Wildlife Resources. They may be can give
you
them.
You said 25 to 40 of them?
I mean, it may have a large number of them.
Yeah.
And if you have that many, Tennessee Wildlife Resources may have some options for them. They may come out and do something different.
I was on my way to my daughter's house yesterday, and I ran across something I had not seen in a while. You talk about, if this guy's concerned of having crows in his yard, large numbers of them. About 5 or 6 blocks from her house, I passed a yard that had, I bet it was 10 or 15 vultures walking around the yard. And I'm sure there was something dead there. But that's worse than crows, I'm sure. If be thankful then. If there's something to be thankful for, be thankful that you have crows instead of a whole gaggle of vultures out there. Man, those are big.
And you see them on side of the road, and they don't move much.
No, but I've started seeing more vultures lately than in previous years. And I've seen a few times that you drive by a neighborhood and they'll be sitting on top of the house, just like a crow would, but it's a lot bigger. And I've seen a lot more of these birds of prey out. The other day I was driving down Broad, and a friend of mine was with me, and I saw this streak come down into the median on Broad, right around the Ford dealership, the Murfreesboro Ford. And I said, "What was that?" And he said, "That was a hawk. He must have found a mouse or a rabbit or something there in the grassy median." But that thing went, and it was, he got his prey and he was gone. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm fine. The fellow that has the crows, if he has ever had grain of any sort in his yard, like bird feeders or corn or whatever, any kind of grain, crows will find that. They love grain.
Ah, wow. And I think maybe, yeah, that's a good point. That is a very, so don't keep, well, it's hard to say don't put any grain in your yard, but
right.
that's your grass seed and what have you.
Well, they'll go for corn or bird seed or any of that sort.
Anything you put out.
If they can find it, yes.
All
thank
right.
you.
Thanks for calling. 893-1450, and as I look back, I think that's what brought the mice to our house. Our garage, which obviously is close to the house, had some bird seed, a bag of bird seed in it, and we discovered that somebody had helped themselves to the bird seed from the bottom.
Oh.
And had chewed into it, and there was bird seed. That was our first place to discover the mice, in the garage, and then later found them in the house. But I think the bird seed was what got them there. I hadn't had that problem before. I guess I haven't set the bird seed on the garage floor before, but I won't do that anymore. 893-1450 is our phone number, 893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens, and we still, I thought we were going to get a lot of calls on people who had remembered seeing the hailstorms in October in Tennessee before. Haven't seemed to get much response on that one. Any of you remember other hailstorms in Tennessee in October? Man, the one we had day before yesterday?
Wednesday?
Yeah, today's Thursday.
Tuesday.
Must have been Tuesday. Yeah, it was rough. And a lot of damage, obviously. Wow, that was awesome. Cracked windows. Danny Page said he has a skylight at his house that was broken out. So, do you remember seeing hailstorms in October in Tennessee before? 893-1450. We'll be back. We're going to check the weather. Be sure there are no hailstorms in the forecast. We'll be right back.
Standing on the bridge, looking at the waves. Seen so many jump, never seen one saved. On a distant beach, your song can die. On a bitter wind, on a cruel tide. And every one of us has to face that day. Do you cross the bridge or do you fade away? And every one of us that ever came to play has to cross the bridge or fade away.
When severe weather strikes, we break in.
Meteorologist
giving you an exclusive weather eye forecast on WGNS Murfreesboro.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable Catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture.
Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
WeatherEye.
Across the forecast area, we have a freeze warning going into effect during the overnight hours. A chance for showers and then drizzle later today, mostly cloudy skies and a high of 54. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 45.
Family Staffing Solutions.
I had a very serious accident. I had Family Staffing come to me, and they have reached out. They have touched me in every way that they possibly could touch my heart.
Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best.
It's an opportunity for all of us to enjoy the aging process.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions. 143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Now, FM 100.5 is louder, so you can listen longer. We've increased power to better serve you. This is WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Good morning and welcome back. 893-1450, just a few minutes left in the program. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning, 893-1450. Anthony Tuggle's with us. And this reminder, once again, next week at this time, Dwayne Trail will be with us doing his 30th annual folklore winter forecast. The real story behind the woolly worms and, you know, the smoke that comes out of the fireplace. If it goes a certain direction, that means one thing. And if it doesn't, spider webs. Haven't seen many spider webs this year.
Corn shucks, all kind of things.
Fogs in August. I usually try to remember to count the fogs in August. It must not have been a huge number because it didn't impress me. I don't remember fogs in August this year.
I remember a couple.
You did see a couple.
I think. Maybe that's September. I don't know. I can't keep up now.
are you going to get a four-wheel drive vehicle now? Anthony will be
so.
ready for anything.
I might just stay in on those days.
That's probably the better thing to do. Anything big coming up at the Agricultural Extension Service in the next week or so?
Bart, I'm not really sure. I didn't look at the calendar today. I didn't think
okay.
about the calendar.
Well, there's always stuff going on.
We always have a different program. We know the farmers market is still open tomorrow. Mm-hmm. People can come out and visit the market.
In fact, you've expanded that, haven't you?
We have, Bart. Starting in November, we're going to have an extended market to get some of those cool season crops. That comes in a little later, and especially with the new hot tunnel technology, people actually can grow things for a little longer period of time. And that's going to open up instead of Tuesday and Friday. That's going to be the Sundays from 2 to 5, I believe.
Sundays,
starting
okay.
in November.
Okay.
Just for a few hours.
Sort of a test to see if people like it, and if you like it, they'll continue. If you don't like it, they won't continue. It's up to you.
Yeah, they have to let us know.
And when will this start again?
It'll be start the first Sunday in November.
In November. That's just around the corner.
Yeah, right around
about
the corner.
About a week and a half away.
It is.
Man, this year is flying by. Don't forget the frost warnings tonight. That's something to be aware of. Cover your flowers and everything and enjoy yourself. Enjoy this beautiful season. It's gorgeous out there. Anthony Tuggle, thank you for joining us today. You have a super day.
Enjoyed it.
Stay with us. Much more to come right here.
It'd be good if we could say it together. Don't be afraid to sing to your mind. Sing about the joy that I know we can find. Wind them around and see what they sound like together.
This is Kix Brooks from Brooks and Dunn, and you're listening to WGNS Talk Radio, Murfreesboro, Tennessee.